today as we come to the table.
My family will reject me. Well, will it give them a chance to go to heaven? Yeah? Then it's okay. If you can come to that place and lose the fear of man, and more importantly, if you can let go of the desire for everyone to like you, you will be a powerful witness for Christ. If you come to the place where you say, I don't care if everyone likes me or not, I'm going to love everybody, but I don't care if they all like me. Now you're going to be used beyond any way God would ever be able to use you up to that point, because so many believers are held back in sharing their faith because they're afraid someone won't like them.
We all want to be liked, don't we? Nobody seeks to be hated by everyone in the world. It's a strong human desire to be liked. So that can make it hard to speak the truth when we know others don't agree with us. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to be a witness to the light that is Jesus. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Don't shy away from speaking the truth. That doesn't mean you have to call out the sin of friends and family members in your life, but you can speak the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Don't worry about what others think about you. Concentrate on what God thinks of you and what he's called you to do. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 7, as he continues his message, You Will Be Hated.
They would talk to the kids and explain to them why they're doing this. Hey, this is to remember that we lived in the wilderness, our forefathers did, for 40 years, and God took care of us. He gave us all of our food. He gave us all of our water. He protected us from our enemies. He brought us into the promised land. And so it'd be a chance for the kids to go, wow, wow. And of course, all the kids would love camping out anyway. And it gave a chance for everybody to remember God's greatness and God's faithfulness. And every day of the feast, what they would do is the priest would get an empty container. He would go down to the bottom of the city of David, to the pool of Siloam, and he would scoop up a container full of water. Everyone would walk back up to the Temple Mount in this procession, this great procession with the priest leading them. He would pour the water out on the rocks there on the floor of the Temple Mount. And as it splashed on the rocks, they would just give God glory and praise because it represented God giving them water out of the rock during the 40 years in the wilderness. One of the most ironic things about Jesus going to this particular feast and them rejecting him is that they were celebrating the fact that God walked among them in the wilderness, and here was God in human form literally walking among them, and they were rejecting him. Wow, I mean, the irony in this. And yet, there are some that do the same thing today, and that is God desires to walk in the midst of your life, and he desires to walk in the midst of your family. And he desires to walk in the midst of your workplace and everything that you do. And instead of allowing him to do that, there are some that reject, ignore, and even remove him from their lives when his greatest desire is simply to welcome them to his table so they can feast with him. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of God living among you. Guys, there's a lot of room at the table. There's plenty of seats. You know, it's interesting when I think about the table of God, we're going to be sitting at the table of God in heaven. And we're going to be feasting with the Lord, it tells us in Revelation, for 7 years before he comes back. And we're all going to come back with him when he establishes his throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth. And in my mind, as I was talking about that and earlier in the morning, I could just see people, just droves of people showing up to the table and sitting down. What a beautiful scene that is. And how sad it is for any seat to be empty when there's enough seats at the table of the Lord. Listen, God has a seat for you, but you're the one that has to come. He can't make you come, but he's got a seat for you at the table. And if you will simply acknowledge your sin and that he died for you on the cross, you will be welcome to not only be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven, but you can dine with the Lord eternally. What is it going to be like in heaven? What's the feast going to be like? We're going to be eating in heaven. Did you know that? We're going to be eating. We're going to be drinking. We're going to be celebrating. The Bible says that manna was angels' food, and I'm sure that's probably just an appetizer. So it's going to be great. You think the taste buds are good down here? The Bible says everything down here is a shadow of the real thing in heaven. Think about that for a minute, okay? You eat food now and the taste buds, and some of you are probably thinking about it now. And so you got the taste buds going and you eat something you really like and you, well, this is great. It is nothing compared to what kind of taste buds you're going to have in heaven. Now, do I know what that's going to be like? No. But I know this, it is a shadow of the real thing to come. Think of the most pleasurable thing you can imagine down here on this earth to do. Something you love to do, whatever that might be, in a boat, you know, flying across the lake or whatever. The most wonderful thing you can think of. It is a shadow of the real thing in heaven. This is only the beginning of what you're going to get to enjoy. This is what God offers when he says, come to the table. What an invitation. What excitement lies ahead of us. Now notice this. Here's where we see his brothers. Again, his very family, like Joseph and like others, turn on him. And it says in verse 3, his brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Wow. Here his own brothers are mocking him, making fun of him, hating him, if you will, doing all these things to him, not believing in him. Listen, can you imagine growing up in the home of God and not believing in him? That's exactly what they did. Mark, how could anyone do that? Because this is a spiritual thing. We're blinded by the enemy, the Bible says, until God opens our eyes. And listen, if you've been rejected by your family, don't feel bad. If God can live with someone and them not believe, then you living with them with all your frailties and weaknesses and they don't believe, then you can understand that as well. So don't beat yourself up on that. Just continue to pray and to be that testimony and be that witness. But again, it's interesting here that his own family hated him. And some of you might say, well, you know what? My family hates me now that I've come to Christ. Jesus' family hated him as well. So you're not in bad company and you're not alone. It's not that God wants that. But the reality is, if you choose to follow Christ, that's going to be the result of it. And notice here the distinction between his brothers and his disciples mentioned in this verse. It says, his brothers therefore said to him these things. And then they say to him, hey, you've got your followers. Go show them. If you're this whatever. And it makes a clear distinction between his brothers and his disciples, his true followers. Why is that important? Because there is a false teaching out there that says that Jesus didn't have any real brothers. And that Mary stayed a virgin perpetually. Guys, that's not what the Bible teaches. And this verse very clearly shows that Mary did have many children. And Jesus did have half brothers. As a matter of fact, the Gospels tell us some of Jesus's brothers' names and some of Mary's other children, James, Joseph, Simon, Jude. He even had sisters. We don't know the names. But it was a large family that Mary and Joseph had. It was a large family that Jesus was in. This is not talking about the disciples of the Lord. Some try to say, well, he didn't really have brothers. This is speaking about his disciples. Well, if these were his disciples, he had a pretty rough crowd because even his own followers didn't like him. No, these are his brothers. And so I point that out for a couple of reasons, not just for doctrine in the first part, but the second part, to let you know that if your family's rejected you, Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He knows where you are, and he understands your heart. And so you don't need to feel like a failure. You just need to realize you continue to live and be a witness for the Lord. And so this really brings the main theme of today's teaching to the forefront, and that is this. It doesn't matter how good and righteous you are when you're doing God's work. Some people will hate you either way. And the bottom line is, it may be pride, it may be the sinful nature of man. We have to recognize behind it is the spiritual warfare that's involved. And as we move forward and serve God, we have to remember that this world is at war with God, and therefore, since this world is at war with God, this world is at war with us. And there's oftentimes nothing we can do to make them happy. You just continue to live for Jesus. You let God work out the details. Luke 6:26 says this, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Wow. That doesn't mean we should seek to be hated. It just means we will be, even as Jesus was, if we make a stand for the Lord. But again, look at the category we're in. We're in the category of the prophets, and not only that, we're in the category of Jesus. And those of us that are never hated by anyone, we're in the category of false prophets. Now again, I want to point out here, he says, when all men speak well of you. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to be spoken well of and have a good reputation. It doesn't mean the Christian is to be mean. What it means is if you're living for the Lord, all men will not like you. And if all men do like you, you're probably not really being a testimony for the Lord. Guys, I encourage you. Ask yourself right now in your heart, does everybody like you? Now, if it's because they don't like you because you've done something mean, don't include that one. or if it's some family disagreement or friend disagreement where you even think you're right, don't include that one. But if somebody doesn't like you because you said something about Jesus Christ, or if everyone still likes you and you have no enemies because of anything you've ever said about Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you. Are you being a vocal witness for Jesus Christ? Because if you open your mouth in his namesake, there will be some who will not only dislike you, they will hate you. Notice Jesus' response. Verse 6, Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil." Now notice in verse 6, he says, your time's always ready. My time is not always ready. Why? It shows us very clearly that in God's economy, we have a time and season for everything. Our days, our times, our seasons, they're put in place by God. Not so for the world. The world's time is any moment. Since they're in rebellion to God, they operate on their own time and their own way, but the believer operates in God's time as God directs. And he's making the point, you can do whatever, live how you want, do anything you want, but if you're serving God, you're now laying your life down for him. You don't have to, but if you're going to, you're going to have to lay your life down. And so notice what he says again, verse 7, he says, the world cannot hate you. Why? Because they're a part of it. If you're a part of the world and you go along with all the world's mindset and culture and viewpoints, they're not going to hate you. But when you stand against them, that's when they're going to. You know, if you go to these rallies and they have these marches and these signs and they're standing for something evil, and sometimes that happens, and you've seen that, and they're standing up for abortion, everyone should get an abortion or whatever, they've got some cause that goes against God's word. If you stand there with them and say, yeah, yeah, they're going to love you. But the moment you say abortion is murder, you're doing something wrong, they're going to turn on you. They're going to hate you. And so notice, again, he says the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. And this is key. This is a word I have circled in my Bible. It's huge. Because this is why Jesus was hated, and this is why you will be hated. Because I testify. There's another word to underline. I testify of it that its works are evil. Here's what the Lord's saying is. If you remain quiet like a good little boy and girl, people will probably like you good enough. But if you testify, if you open your mouth and become vocal, oh, but Mark, I live for the Lord in the way I live. I live at work. I'm a very nice person. I'm good. I shine for Jesus. That's wonderful. I commend you for that. Keep shining for Jesus. But he's called you not only to shine, he's called you to testify and be vocal as to why you're shining. Why are you so shiny, man? I'm just a shiny person. No, come on. Something's going on. Why are you so shiny? Why are you so happy all the time? What is it? How do you handle this situation? If we never just say it's because Jesus Christ is in my life, he's become real to me. Do you know him? Has anyone ever shared with you about the fact that he loves you? That's when the rubber hits the road. Yes, it is true that a picture is worth 1,000 words, but when it comes to the gospel, words must be used. I know there's this saying, and I've heard it before, and I think it's nice. And it goes, I'm going to be a witness for Jesus, and if I have to use words, I will. That's nice. That's encouraging. It makes a good poster. But the reality is, if you don't use words, you're never going to be the full Christian Jesus wants you to be. That's just the bottom line. God will use you. People will figure out some things. They'll be drawn into some degree, but they'll never be truly drawn to the cross, and they're not going to know the gospel unless someone vocalizes it and tells them. And when you do that, that's when the hatred comes in. But here's what we have to come to as believers. We have to be willing to let the world hate us so that we can love them enough to get them into the kingdom. Pastor Jason's grandmother went to be with the Lord here just this past week, and Pastor Jason did the service, and I was touched by the service. It was a great, great service, and what he shared was just fantastic. And he shared a part of where she was at the table, knowing she was about to die right before she died. And the most important thing to her, you know, when somebody's about to die, they share the most important things that are in their life. And he said, she sat there with tears and said to the family, the most important thing to me is I want you all to be in heaven. And I don't know if all of them at the table knew the Lord or not, but I know in her heart what she was thinking. If you don't like me for saying this, I don't care. Because I love you so much that I will allow you to dislike me. I'm not saying anybody there disliked her. I'm using the example to carry it now to another family because I don't know the family. But we need to love people enough to share the truth that even if they do decide they dislike us, it's okay. That's all right. But my friends will hate me. Well, do they have a chance to go to heaven? Yeah. And it's okay. My family will reject me. Well, will it give them a chance to go to heaven? Yeah. Then it's okay. If you can come to that place and lose the fear of man, and more importantly, if you can let go of the desire for everyone to like you, you will be a powerful witness for Christ. If you come to the place where you say, I don't care if everyone likes me or not, I'm going to love everybody, but I don't care if they all like me. Now you're going to be used beyond any way God would ever be able to use you up to that point, because so many believers are held back in sharing their faith because they're afraid someone won't like them. Guys, I'm just like you. We want to be liked. It's in our human nature. I don't know of anybody that wakes up going, I want to be hated today. Let's go for it. Now, there may be some people like that out there. Maybe you've had friends that way. I don't know. But most of us desire to be liked. If we can lose that desire, we're going to be used in power for the Lord. Now we become those who expose the darkness rather than going along with the darkness, and therefore we're going to be hated. The word hater is the word meseo. It means to hate, detest, dislike strongly, leading to separation and hostility. Note that. It means sometimes it will lead to separation and sometimes it will lead to hostility. Is it worth it to you? Do you love your family and friends enough for them to hate you? Meditate on that for a moment. Do you love them that much? Because if you're only holding back for your sake, you don't really love them enough to sacrifice yourself. No greater love has this than a man lay down his life for his friend. We need to come to a place to say, I'm willing to lay down you liking me because I want you in the kingdom. I want you there. It's interesting. In some instances in Scripture, this word was used for hatred for no reason at all. Sometimes people hate you, they don't even know why. It's spiritual. With Daniel, it was used as political hatred of the righteous. In the Psalms, the word is used of hating those who pray to God. Simply because you're praying to God, they would hate you. I had someone do that one time. I was praying, and the guy came over and started yelling at me. You know, you always think about something really smart like you could say when they leave, but, you know, God's gracious and doesn't let you be stupid, so he doesn't give it to you until they're gone. Right? Because then that would be a bad testimony. Boy, if I could have thought of this, I'd have said that. And that would have shown him. Oh, that would have really led him to the kingdom, Mark. Good thinking. So God keeps me dumb at those moments. I've had a couple of moments where people will kind of rush me and say something. And I'm so shocked, I kind of go. And then if they leave, I go, oh, if I'd have just said that. Oh, I'd have nailed him. Right? And I realized that's what God wanted me to do, was nail them. No, God wanted me to love them. But guys, here's how it works. If you don't think exposing the world's sin is going to get people angry at you, I'm going to give you a few examples. And I'm going to wrap this up quick. Don't worry. But listen to this. Here's some examples for you. Because in our culture today, I can give you some examples of if you testify, you're going to be hated. Here's one. The Bible says that sex outside of marriage is sinful. But if you say that today, you're going to be called judgmental. And you'll be hated for it. There's actually, believe it or not, among some of the younger, at least those who say they're Christians, are now saying they need to live together or they would never really understand what it's like in a true marriage. Guys, Satan is deceiving the next generation. And yet if you say that, you're judging me, man. No, I'm simply telling you what the Word of God says, and I want you in heaven. What's another one? The Bible says abortion is murder. But if you stand up and say abortion is murder to the world, I can say it among family all the time. If I say it to the world, you're repressive. You're repressive and oppressive. You're holding us back. Really? Trying to save a baby's life is holding you back. Where's the mindset? Here's the big one. Here it is. Here's the big one. I'm just going to say it. If you stand up and say to the world that same-sex relationships are an abomination to God, not just sin. God actually uses the word abomination. I'm not sure I can even spell it. And I'm not quite sure what it fully means. But it's scary for me to think that I'm doing something that's not just a sin to God, but an abomination. Whatever that means, and yet if I say that today to the world, what's going to happen? I'll be called a bigot, and I'll be called a hater. Guys, that's Satan trying to intimidate you. He's trying to cower you back and get you to get people to like you. Don't say that. You're not a hater. And by nature, Satan knows we all want people to like us. And so if we say they're a hater, he knows how to back a Christian down. By the way, this is not a new tactic. Back in the early church, some years ago, I was studying Roman history in the early church. Back in the early church of Rome, the Christians who were standing up against sin, and one of the sins they were standing up against was same-sex relationships. It was very rampant in Rome in that day. Guess what they called those Christians? No shocker. Haters of men. And I remember studying that some 20 years ago or so. I studied that before it became, it wasn't used in our culture at that time. And I remember reading that going, how interesting. Satan was backing the Christians down by calling them haters. And then when I saw hate language start coming into the American culture, I thought, you know what? He's doing the exact same thing he did back in the days of Rome. He's trying to shut the church up from reaching out to those who need Christ so they can be saved and go to heaven. Because if he can get us to shut up because we want to be liked and we don't want to be called a hater, then he can get all those people that are not following God, no matter the sin, no matter the sin, to end up and be separated from God for eternity. God says, Christian, don't let that happen. You go after them. You love them. You love them. And you tell them the truth. And this is why the world hated Jesus. And this is why the world is going to hate us. This is not a new tactic. It's an old one. Verse 8, you go up to the feast. I'm not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come. And when he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he went up also to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. And then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, well, he's good. Another said, no, on the contrary, he deceived the people. And that will always be the response if you stand for the Lord. Some will recognize you're doing the right thing, and some are going to say you're evil. It's interesting. The Bible says that the world sees evil as good and good as evil. Have you noticed that? They will actually call a believer who stands for righteousness evil. I've heard it. And so it's amazing. It hasn't changed much. It's the same kind of thing that's going on today. And notice this. It says there in verse 13, however, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Guys, here's where we leave it today. I encourage you, don't beat yourself up if you're not being a vocal witness. Pray for God to give you power to do so. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said this, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the outer reaches of the world. It's a certain work of the Spirit that gives the believer power and boldness. You need to pray, God, I need you to come upon me. I want to be a vocal witness. I want to testify about you. And when I do, I'm going to recognize in advance, some are going to hate me for doing this. But I know that it's not really me they hate, it's you. So I can keep loving them. And I've decided that I don't care about whether they like me. I'm going to love them more than I like myself and see if I can get them in the kingdom. And then one day we'll all be rejoicing together, getting the reward for eternity. Is that great or what? See, that's how this works. And the last thing I want you to know, yeah, you'll be hated, but you are currently greatly loved by your Father in heaven. And you know what? We love you too, because we're family. And if you're not family, you're welcome today at the table. Mark, what do? Just confess you're a sinner to God. Well, that sounds easy, but it's not. If you've never done it, it takes humility. Confess your sin to God. Say, God, I admit, I realize you do love me, and I realize I'm not going to heaven. Forgive me of my sins. And then tell him, I believe you died for me on the cross. Your blood paid for my sin. I accept that for me. I accept it. Now, Lord, I give my life to you. The Bible says you'll be born again, and you'll be accepted in the kingdom of God, and you have your place at the table. I don't want to get up there and have anybody's plate empty beside me. And I know it won't really be that way, but it gives a good visual. I want every seat in heaven to be filled. The Lord said, go out into the highways and byways and bring them in. That's our job. Let's be vocal Christians. Let's not care if the world likes us, but let's do it in love, because we are greatly loved and you are greatly loved.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table. The voice you've just heard is none other than that of Pastor Mark Kirk. Come to the Table is an outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Mark is currently teaching verse by verse through the New Testament book of John. This is one of the four gospel books of the Bible. What that means is that it's one of four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus while here on earth. John brings up many miracles and proofs of Jesus being both God and man. Jesus met with people. He got tired, he cried, and he had a biological family. But he also performed miracles, raised people from the dead, and fed a crowd of people with one boy's small portion of food that multiplied. These two worlds colliding between his humanity and being the God of the universe can be hard for us to wrap our minds around. But John's eyewitness accounts of these happenings make it all the more convincing. To listen to more teachings like this one, head over to thewaymedia.net. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Find service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page to find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, We want you to know that we're thankful for you, and we pray that these messages make an impact in your daily life. Join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach more about the life and ministry of Jesus. There are so many things we can gain from following Jesus' example that he laid out for us in his word. That's all for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.